Radio MD.
RadioMD.com.
The world's preeminent talk radio portal.
All about your health.
And now here's Melanie Cole, MS, host of Staying Well.
Genital herpes is a common sexually transmitted infection that affects both men and women, and it seems to be on the rise lately. My guest is Dr. Lisa Olson. She's the medical director at sexualhealth.com. Welcome to the show, Dr. Lisa. So let's talk about herpes now. The difference between, people have heard about genital herpes. They've heard about oral herpes, mouth sores, simplex 1 and 2. It's a little confusing. So differentiate it for us. What is simplex 1, 2? How do they differ?
Sure, Melanie. Thanks for having me. We typically think of type 1 herpes as being the type that causes cold sores that's present around the mouth or on the lips. But what's interesting to note is that these days, most genital herpes infections, most new genital herpes infections, are caused by type 1. And the way that happens is when someone who has type 1 herpes on their mouth performs oral sex on a partner, they transfer that type 1 herpes virus from their mouth to their partner's genitals. So we don't change the name of it when that happens. We don't then call it type 2. It's still type 1 herpes, but now the partner has genital herpes.
So if you so you can have oral and then you can give it to someone genitally.
Yes, sadly. So you could even be, you know, I once had a patient many years ago who was a virgin. She had never had vaginal sex. And she came to see me with an outbreak of what turned out to be genital herpes. And it was because her fiancé had performed oral sex on her. And that was pretty devastating to she was sort of waiting for their honeymoon to have vaginal sex for the first time. And then she came down with genital herpes, which was a drag, but is actually, you know, not a life-threatening thing and much more of an inconvenience or a nuisance than something that's going to truly damage your health or impact your health in a serious way.
Now, if you have genital herpes, which is what, type 2?
More often than not, it's type 2, but again, many new infections, most new infections are caused by type 1. So type 2 is spread from genital to genital during genital contact, genital sex. But type 1 comes from the mouth to the genitals. So.
If you have type 2, Dr. Lisa, can it then, will you show up with mouth sores or do they not transfer back? I mean, I understand you can spread them back and forth with oral sex and or vaginal sex, but if you have genital herpes, will you get mouth sores? Or if you have mouth sores and you've always had them, will you then be more susceptible to getting genital herpes?
Great question. So, in fact, it turns out that your herpes is going to kind of stay where it landed. So, if you've got genital herpes, you're not going to suddenly get herpes on your mouth. And if you've got type 1 herpes around your mouth, you're not going to suddenly get genital herpes. So it's going to stay where it landed. And interestingly, having one type of herpes, whether it's on the mouth or in the genitals, gives you a teeny little bit of protection against developing other types of herpes, simply because you've got some antibodies to the type that you already have that can help you fend off new types of herpes. Now, that is definitely not absolute. Just because you have cold sores doesn't mean you shouldn't use condoms if your partner has herpes. You definitely want to use condoms to reduce your risk of getting genital herpes by 50%. But, you know, it doesn't actually make you more susceptible to a different kind of herpes. In fact, the opposite.
So if you find out that you have herpes, simplex 2, we're going to talk about, can that be passed around? I mean, are you contagious if it's not flaring up?
Well, we think actually that most genital herpes is spread in between outbreaks. Most people realize when they have a genital sore from a herpes outbreak that they shouldn't have sex, either because they realize it's contagious and they don't want to put their partner at risk, or because the sore is uncomfortable. The outbreak is uncomfortable, sometimes even, frankly, painful, and so people don't feel like having sex when they have an active outbreak. The issue is that on approximately half of the days during during the month, you are shedding virus. It's called asymptomatic viral shedding. And what that means is your body is releasing virus from the genital area, even though you can't see or feel a visible outbreak. And so we think that's when most herpes is spread, because people aren't as worried about transmitting it when they don't see an outbreak. So
how does that affect your future partners? I mean, if you're somebody who has it and you've been diagnosed with it, how does that affect your future? You have to tell everybody, and so you have to use condoms for the rest of your life?
Well, here's the thing. We always recommend condoms. It does reduce the risk of transmission by about 50%. So you lower the risk of transmitting it to your partner. You could also take a daily antiviral medication that would reduce the risk of transmitting it by 50% as well. However, there is some interesting news about transmission. Herpes isn't quite as easily spread as you might think. So there's been a study that looked at heterosexual couples in a long-term relationship. So a man and a woman having sex, the man has herpes, the woman doesn't. In a year of unprotected sex, no condoms, avoiding sex during an active outbreak, the risk of the man spreading herpes to the woman in this year of unprotected sex was anywhere between 10 and 18%. It's not that high. Now, if you turn the tables and say that the woman is the one with herpes and the man does not have herpes, use the same scenario. They have unprotected sex for a year, avoiding sex during an outbreak. The woman will spread herpes to her uninfected male partner only about 4% of the time in a year of unprotected sex. So a lot of couples who have been together for a long time will be discordant. One person has it, the other one doesn't. And sometimes they use condoms, and sometimes they say, genital herpes is not the end of the world. I'm going to take my 4% chance in a year, and we'll just continue to have unprotected sex, avoiding sex during an outbreak when it's the most contagious, but understanding that herpes can be spread even in between outbreaks.
So what do you think of the long-term antivirals?
Well, first of all, they're very effective. They're very safe and well-tolerated. But what I have found in my practice is that most people end up not using them every day. There are two scenarios where people can take antivirals every day. One is to reduce the risk of spreading herpes to your partner. The other scenario is for people who get really frequent outbreaks to reduce the frequency. In that situation, taking antivirals every day for a year will usually calm down the herpes virus, and then you can stop and just take medication when the herpes flares up. But it's interesting. I really thought we were going to see a lot more people taking this medication to reduce the risk of spreading it to a partner when that research came out saying that it was effective for that. And I just find people don't really stick with it. I think it's a combination of issues. One being that even the generic versions of these medicines are pretty expensive. The other being that I think a lot of people just say, when it's a long-term relationship, and herpes isn't such a big deal, if you can get past sort of the social stigma, which I hope people do get past, a lot of people just, take their chances, cross their fingers, use condoms. It's a lot cheaper than the antiviral medications.
In the last 30 seconds, Dr. Lisa, your best advice for living with herpes?
Well, my advice for living with herpes, when people find out they have it, is do not freak out and ruin your relationship. People often have genital herpes for years or decades without knowing it, and if they get an STD test and find out that they have herpes, they often turn to their partner and say, you cheated, and the relationship explodes and ends. Don't do that. Have an honest conversation. Both partners should get tested and realize either one of you might have brought it in from an old relationship years or decades ago.
And that's what you're hearing right here on Radio MD. Like us on Facebook or follow us on Twitter at Your Radio MD. This is Melanie Cole. Stay well.